With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Deadline's New Hollywood Podcast. My name is Dino Ray Ramos.
And I'm Amanda Nduka. And for this episode, we have the hilarious Michelle.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. She is, y'all, she's hilarious. She has a Netflix special, which you guys are going to die.
For real. Like, we kind of give away a lot of it in this. Not a lot,
not really.
Right?
No, yeah. We don't. Yeah, a couple of jokes. Like, we talk about a couple of her, but it's all together. Like, I highly encourage people to watch it. It's hilarious. She's just great. I've been watching her for a while now since she was on, I think it was called The Daily Buzz or something. We talk about it during the podcast, but she was on a show, a morning show on VH1 that apparently nobody watched but me.
No, I think she is one of the, actually for the past, I don't know, couple episodes, we've had like prominent Black female comedians.
Which is
Sheer, Amber, and now Michelle.
Yeah.
And Michelle is, I first got introduced to her, I think she was on a podcast and then I saw her on Phoebe Robinson's Two Dope Queen special, friend of the podcast, one of our earliest guests. And she was also in Always Be My Maybe. She's in First Wives Club. Y'all, she is hilarious. And I think this special.
She's in that J-Lo movie, which she'll talk about.
Oh, God. Her in the special.
J-Lo's story is amazing, you guys.
In the special, she talks about working with J-Lo, and it killed me. Like, it annihilated me.
Yeah, it's very relatable.
Oh, and also she has a book coming out in December called Survival of the Thickest. So check that out.
Yeah. And then her Netflix special is the 29th, right?
Yes.
September 29th. So September 29th, her Netflix comedy special, Welcome to Butopia. And like I said, I highly encourage you guys to watch it. It is a great comedy.
Especially now. It made me so happy.
It made me
so happy.
You can watch it however you feel like watching it. You'll know what I mean by that when you listen.
But without further ado, here is Michelle Buteau.
Well, thank you for being here, Michelle.
Such an angel.
Thank you so much for being here. Congrats on the Netflix special. We talked about it a little bit. We're going to get back to it. But first, here on the New Hollywood Podcast, we like to hear about people's, like, their journeys, especially people who didn't sort of get into this industry in the conventional sense. As you know, there's like a way that people get, like the historical way that people used to get in this business versus how people sort of find their own
casting
way.
Couch.
Casting couch.
That was part of it.
White.
That was part of it. But I just wanted to know, where did
white basic man? Yes. Having a rich dad? Yes. Making a sex tape? Having a mother that should have been a lawyer? Yes. Getting a fake butt and being on a reality show? Yes. Oh, I mean, unconventional yes. being actually yes, having my sis. Place,
helping myself. You have to do your own work.
Yes.
You did your own work, and you did, you know, we see you now, and we're loving everything that you
yes, have. Sis. Where did it all start for you?
Yes.
Where did you sort of find your funny, if that's a lack of a better term? And I read that you were originally going to be, you went to a journalism school, you were originally going to be a journalist before you.
Yeah. Okay. I actually, in college, I'm like, what do I want to do? I have to pick something because my parents are paying for school cash. Immigrant parents. I'm like, gotta pick something good. And I loved writing. I love being creative. I love recapping a story. And I'm like, I'm going to be a journalist. This is who she is. And entertainment reporting like just started to pop. I'm like, this is going to be me. I am going to be like the Vanessa Williams of E.T. And that didn't happen because I told one of my professors in a class, because we were going around saying what we want to do. I said I want to be a reporter. And he said, well, Michelle, you're just simply too fat to be on camera. And I didn't even question him. Like, I was embarrassed, but I, you know, I was raised to be polite and not question. That's one. And two, I'm like, well, I guess he's right, because he works in the industry and I don't see myself represented at all. Mm-hmm. And if I did see myself represented, it was a big joke. It was like, a flaca any gordo or whatever. Like, it's like, ooh, the big one. You know what I mean? And so, and even if you were just above a size 14, like Delta Burke, you're just getting, you know, you're getting, before there was a cancel culture, you were being canceled, right? You were just being shamed if you weren't skinny. So, yeah, I mean, I was like, well, I guess I'll just be an editor. Because I really want to work in TV. I like when every day feels different. I like to collab with people. And so I just started editing and field producing. And I was so tired of making basic bitches look good. Like, say this, look like that, wear this, be more happy, smile. I'm just like, why am I giving my shine away for free? And so there was always that little thing inside me, which I call it gas, like emotional gas. Like, you got to get it out. Otherwise, your stomach is going to hurt. And there was always this thing inside me where I was like, I got to get it out. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, I just had, it's so funny. I just did stuff because people told me, and all my coworkers were like, you have to be a comedian. You're so funny. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm too happy to be a comedian. Like, I would watch stand-up shows and I'm like, everyone is so sad and broke and jerking off and like not enjoying their high. I'm like, this is not me. I do not see myself. I would see drag shows. I'm like, that's me. Like, I just want to do splits and heels and just be like, ready, girls? You know what I mean? Like, I didn't understand. And stand-up in 2001 was like crazy because it was so like structured. It was so segregated. It was like, you're the black comic, you're the white comic, you're the gay comic, you're the family guy, you're like the mom. And I was, you know, I don't know, I was happy, I liked my parents, I didn't like being broke. I still don't like being broke. And so, yeah, I mean, that's how I just sort of got into stand-up, because I used to like to write and people told me I should.
How was that very first show for you? Like, what do you remember about your very first stand-up?
Well, I mean, my very first show was sort of like everybody's first year of comedy, where it's like very you're either doing thank you so much, guys. I promise you I graduated.
No, you're right. Self-deprecating.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I hope you can feel that.
You have to be careful with that word.
Self-defecating.
Oh, rated R. So, yeah, it was like a lot of like, I'm big boned and just a lot of, it wasn't even like probably sentences, just like a lot of sassy Tourette's, but I just remember feeling good, like alive. Like, I just, you know, finished the first day at a gym. I'm like, holy shit, this is good. And then all I knew was I just wanted to keep doing it. I didn't think about being famous or like even making money. I'm like, this is something I enjoy. I should keep doing it. The end, goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, so you've been at it for almost two decades, you know, doing the stand-up.
I know. Thing, right? Thank God I aged well. No, I but beige but, don't age. Hey!
Yeah, there you go, Prince. Asian don't raise it.
I can't say it. You can. I can't say it. You can.
No, but you know how, you know that you've kind of touched on that journey that you had, but how have you navigated those, you know, nearly two decades of a space that was primarily cis, straight, white, yeah, and male?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's any minority in any job. You just have to keep your head down and be better than everybody, even though you get paid less, you are appreciated far less than everybody else, you know? And you always have to not fuck up, because then it's going to be like, ah, the one fucked up. Mm. I told you about that minority hire. Mm. So I was just like, you know what? No matter what, I'm going to make it hard for people to follow me. I would get the spots that nobody wanted. Nobody wants to go first. Nobody wants to go last. Nobody wants to host. I'll take that shit. And that's like the best education, taking the scraps. It's sort of just like, you know, when the slaves would get the scraps from, you know, the master and make delicious stews that now hipsters are sort of, you know. Is that too much?
No.
I didn't know.
That makes sense, though.
It totally makes sense. It's like, I think all kind of othered cultures, especially people of color and immigrants, I think mostly immigrants, we have these dishes that people are now like eating up in Silver Lake or in Williamsburg. You know, they're like all charging $50 a plate when we could get it for free at home.
Girl, and it's like cilantro. Don't give me your mystery ingredients. I don't know what the... You can call it coriander, you can call it cilantro, I don't know what it is. It's nutmeg, bitch, back up. So yeah, that part.
What was it like for you though, being like a person of color, not just being a woman is obviously hard enough in this business, in this world, on this planet, if I may take it there. But just in this business, being a woman of color, is a whole nother sort of obstacle that like sort of puts you down, I want to say three or four more steps behind maybe the next person. So how did you sort of navigate that? Were you able to like walk into spaces and feel comfortable with being completely you? Or did you feel like at times you had to kind of code switch to make people feel comfortable with you?
Okay, Noprah.
I know.
This is what we do here.
Yeah,
what we do here.
You like to dig deep, you know.
Okay, with a lot of A's, you know. It's interesting. So, like in the green room, that really is like the locker room, you know. Like even when I started dating my husband, who's a white dude, who's one of the good ones. we would go into a green room and I would just say hi to everybody, but everyone assumed that he was going to be performing and not me. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wow.
So I would sort of keep my head down in the green room and be like, hi, and just do what I got to do on stage, because that's what I'm there for. I'm not there to make friends. I have friends. I'm happy in my life. I have someone to go to dinner with. I like to go to Zara and ask for all the extra larges. I just keep it moving. Yeah. So I feel like, not anymore, but that was back in the day.
Come on, Zara.
Come on, Zara, get your plus size coat. Come on.
Zara fits weird. I'm sorry.
They do. It's like, why is it so tight on my ankles? It's just like, why are you really trying to come for me?
It's like tight in spaces and then loose everywhere else. It's so weird. But anyway,
it's
sorry, go on.
Insane, and we're supposed to have a siesta. So it's like half skinny arms, but like a fat skinny belly because you're eating all the paella. Not that I thought of that. Maybe I have.
Okay, sorry, interrupted.
Oh, please. I'm married. I'm used to being interrupted. So, yeah, I mean, I would just get on stage and do my fucking thing. And I don't know where I came up with this mantra, but it was definitely in the first 5 years where I was like, okay, no one told me, but I knew that I would have to be comfortable with rejection, just sit in it, you know? And I would always be surprised when somebody was into it. And then sometimes I'm just like, what's wrong with you? Why are you into it? You know what I mean? Like, what do you want from me? Are you gonna steal my soul? But you just have to get so comfortable with rejection that it's almost nothing. Like, really just sit in it, right? Mm-hmm. And so I don't know why or where I came up with this mantra, but it was, if you don't want to hear from me, you're going to hear about me. Bye, bitch. So it was,
yes.
You know, yeah. It was about the club owners.
That's a Cardi B lyric.
Right, Cardi B.
You better come for me.
WAP the remix. You better get WAP on that.
Oh my God. WAP the remix featuring Michelle Buteau.
Oh, I would be so tired. It would just be so tired. I'd just be like, I mean, it's all type, but that's it.
You're going to come for me, but you're going to hear about me. WAP, WAP, WAP.
One cheek twerking, just a hashtag. Tired. Like, is that a muscle spasm or a twerk?
But I love that.
It wasn't even about comedy club owners that are also like so mean. They act like they're the gatekeepers, and yeah. The comics, just some when I first started and they don't know you and stuff, they really love to either ignore you or not a hazing, but just, you know, be like, she's gonna quit in 5 years, so who's this bitch anyway? I don't know. It's just important not to care about that, whatever industry you're getting into, you know, just to kind of really always make your own journey for happiness, because you can't have somebody, you can't rely on somebody else to make you happy. So, you know, bigger picture, I knew those comedy club owners weren't going to determine how funny I am. So I'm just like, bye, bitch. I'm here to connect with the audience, not you.
Yeah, you got to keep it moving.
Keep it moving.
What would you say is like the worst job that you've had to do as you were, you know?
Oh my God, what if I was like motherhood?
Oh, like, wait, what, like stand up, like a stand up gig, or
yeah, like a stand up gig.
Yeah, stand-up gig. What was like the worst one you would
say? Oh my God, there's so many. I mean, I did a lot of Chitlin Circuit rooms, where I did like Mobetta Mondays a lot at the Improv in LA, where that's the only night they had a metal detector. What?
Mm-hmm. What? What? Wait a second. Really?
Yep.
Yes.
I heard about that.
What I didn't appreciate was doing shows where male comedian hosts would be like, okay, we're going to switch it up now. We'll try to do something different. We're going to hear from a female perspective. It's like, bitch, you know I'm female when I get on stage, motherfucker. I'm still speaking everyone's language, motherfucker. Just bring me on stage. Yuck. And so it was a lot of like, she cute, so we don't know if she funny. Let them decide, Steve Harvey. Get the fuck off stage. Wasn't Steve Harvey. It was a motherfucking choppy Steve Harvey.
Yeah.
That was the worst. And then also, I did this gig at the College of Staten Island. It's called CSI. Stop. That should have been the red flag right there. With Vince Renato, an albino comedian, who's very funny. I think we were too much for them. They were like, what is this? And everybody had their backs to us eating free chicken tenders, like in fleece pajamas with like pillows. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with college students? You can't leave your dorm room with clothes on? What is, you don't have a pair of jeans your mom bought you from Old Navy?
No, they don't.
But we had to do time. We had to do 45 minutes each, and we just spoke a microphone to each other. It was,
That's a journey.
It was not okay. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers, you made it.
Cheers, you made it.
Cheers, you got a Netflix special.
Take that, CSI.
Exactly.
That's right.
CSI. College kids in pajamas.
Take it.
Wait, what's going on there? Do you have to tie something?
There's like four ties and I missed one. I don't even know why I have this on.
But that's a challenge.
I just haven't worn it like since March 13th, so here we are.
Oh my God, that was the day.
Our doomsday.
Oh yeah.
Wait. Oh. Well, okay, let's talk about your special. Welcome to Butopia, excuse me. In the beginning, when you're walking out, is that Cardi B announcing you? Who is that announcing?
I was going to ask that too. Oh my,
How did that happen?
Was that a cameo that you pay on Cameo to get that done?
Can you imagine? What a beautiful ass reason.
Oh my gosh, that's what Cameo's for?
Well, yeah. Wait, you don't know. So Cameo, you could get like people,
they can celebs, whatever you want.
Like, I got one for my sister for Jujubee from RuPaul's Drag Race to wish my sister a happy birthday.
Oh, okay, that's what that's for. I thought it was like another version of OnlyFans. I was like, why?
No,
why?
OnlyFans.
I don't know what OnlyFans is.
OnlyFans is just porn. It's just straight
it's not,
up.
It's not porn. So basically what OnlyFans is like it's a site.
OnlyFans.
Okay, no, it's not porn. It's
so basically a lot of porn stars, but a lot of celebrities are also like they make an account. And basically it's like exclusive images for just fans, and apparently like you don't have to, like a lot of these celebrities are claiming that there's no naked images of them, but
okay, Bella Thorne
apparently Bella Thorne made like $1 million in a day, and all these Love and Hip Hop people are getting on it, and they're making like a 500k, like they're making some money on this.
CVJ gotta be on that to pay.
I would not be surprised if a CVJ is on there. I know a couple of like Love and Hip Hop people and a lot of people are coming on. I mean, like I said, Black China is on it apparently.
China's on there.
It's from what I've heard, because I haven't seen it yet, it's pretty much the same picture she posts on her Instagram account. But well, like you have to pay.
It's interesting because it's like subscription based. Like you pay like $9.99 a month.
No, you pay a lot. Some of them you pay. But
some of them are like, it depends on their status.
But they send this much like a Cameo. They send you something personalized.
I think
like a feed of just constant stuff that you could get from them. Like it could be explicit videos or like naughty pictures
or photos. Yeah,
or photos.
Like photos.
Oh,
yeah.
Why not?
There's also, I think there's non, you know, adult stuff on there. I think there's some chefs on there.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit. Unless you're cooking naked, why do I give a fuck?
I want to start one where it's just me just sitting there talking, you know, about shit. No, but that's kind of amazing that you got Cardi to do that. But, you know, with, you know, as a comedian, I think a lot of people, I think a lot of people don't know, you know, what would you like people to know about the work it takes to write an hour worth of material?
Yeah.
And yeah.
Especially this, like this one is like, again, I told you before this, I was like nonstop laughing, but when did you start this special? I guess you would say like workshopping and kind of deciding what you were going to do.
I don't know. It's weird how it all sort of comes together. You know, 2018 was such a beautiful year because, I decided to go to stop trying to do IVF and go with the surrogate. Mm-hmm. So I was doing IVF for a while. And then when I stopped doing that, I started booking a lot of jobs. So I was doing like Always Be My Maybe and Almost Love and so.
Yes.
So I was like doing all these things and it was like amazing because then I just, you know, had that like compartmentalize and I can like focus on this and just be my crazy self. And so I started writing, but you know, really couldn't find what I really want to say. Mm-hmm. You know, there were funny stories and quips and stuff like that, but I'm like, who's she gonna be? What is this? And when the babies were born, and then I was just like hunkered down in that baby quarantine of it all for months and months and months, I just kept, you know, writing or sending myself notes. Cause I'm like, oh, that could be a thing. And then I really do feel like the babies coming into my life definitely helped me just not get over the hump, you know, emotionally in life with something that I was going to do, but then also everything sort of fell into place. I'm just like, oh, this is what it is. Like I've completely worked so hard to earn these tired mom jokes, but also she's lived a life and she's meeting all these great people. And why am I speaking about myself in the third person?
You mentioned that in your special.
Exactly. She's a corporated bitch. Just kidding. But like, listen, I am. Please, H&R Block, don't comfort me. But and then, you know, what's beautiful too is that when you are, you know, in TV and film and then you're doing podcasts and stuff, you start performing for people who recognize you, which is a completely different experience than going out there and trying to have to earn people's trust for 20 minutes and then do the rest, you know, and just be like, I'm a woman, I'm funny, I'm a woman, I'm funny. Because, you know, when, no matter how woke people are, if an audience sees a female, they just look like they're looking at a substitute teacher. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, okay, okay, I'm going to get through it. But when people love your shit and recognize you for something else, it's a completely different time for everyone. So I was like, oh, this is dope. So I did a teeny tiny tour. I think it was like 8 to 10 cities because I was also doing other things. And it was really dope, man. It was just really dope to go out and meet people who are actual motherfucking fans. Those are the people I'm riding for. That's why I'm getting on 2 flights and connected somewhere in fucking Wisconsin. You know, to meet these people that can't make it to New York and see my titties.
Yes, yes. Yes, titties. But you know, you mentioned, you know,
titties like, for you.
No, I think I remember, I don't know when the first time I saw you, I just knew that your name was floating around, and I think it was during like podcasts, like during the
You know what I remember the first time hearing your name was the Daily Buzz. Was it called Daily Buzz?
Oh my God, Big Morning Buzz. Morning a lot Buzz. Of people that watched, except for you and my mom. Well, you
I did watch that show. I watched it with Nick Lachey and the girl that, I can't even remember her name right now, the girl that they had right
Carrie Keegan.
Carrie Keegan, yeah.
Ride or Die, Viacom, get it.
Yeah. Oh, but it's like, you know, I think I remember seeing you on Two Dope Queens. Phoebe was on our podcast. She was actually, I think, our third or fourth guest. I don't remember, but I know she was early on. But she's so dope. But you know, you mentioned this a little bit before. You know, how do you when you do your comedy, when you do your sets, how do you like walk that fine line of sharing a lot about yourself, but also kind of what do you determine what you want to keep private and what you want to share?
I think you figure that out on stage and then also just as an adult, you know what I mean? I'm not an asshole. I'm not going to put all our business out there. I feel like, you know, people come to a show because they want to have a good time and they want to forget. And so I kind of want to have a good time and forget too. Like when I was going through all those miscarriages and traveling with like needles for IVF. I, you know, my mom would be like, why do you have to go do this show? And I'm just like, I need to do this show. I need to go connect with people and maintain some sort of normalcy and have fun. Like, it's not just for them. It's also for me. And I feel like sometimes audience members don't get that or understand that. And maybe some comedians don't even feel that way. But for me, it's just as much for me as it is for them. So you decide. When I started first talking about IVF and stuff, like none of it was funny. People were just like, are you okay? And I was like, oh, I need to have these kids in my life so people just like, she's okay. She's okay. So, you know, I feel like you just figure that out sometimes on stage too. Sometimes with your therapist who also does Zoom calls.
We talked about this earlier, but I would say like that the J-Lo joke was just, I was dying. I feel I do the exact same thing.
when you act like
you don't know the person, everything you're like, about the person, you don't want it to be creepy.
We have the same birthday.
I do that all the time. So much about them. Like J-Lo could not have been nicer. Just more, she was so on it. Like she knew everybody's lines, everybody's jobs, do it from take it from this angle and then we can get home quicker. And I'm just like, damn. And so when she was like, you're tired, did you have a good night's sleep? And I'm like, no, I have boy girl twins. And so they don't really, she's like, me too. And I'm like,
Look at, you and J-Lo are practically the same person, you know, same birthday, twins.
I live in the Bronx now, so I'm just like,
you're Michelle from the block.
What would you say, because I love that joke, because like I said, I do that all the time, but what would you say is your favorite joke from that?
God, that's so crazy. That's like favorite Prince song. That's not right.
What is your favorite Prince song?
That's not okay. That's my favorite child.
You're gonna keep going. Who is your?
Okay. Because I have a favorite. I have a favorite Prince song. You know.
But no, what would you say?
It's a B-side. So anyway, sorry. Go on. Sorry, Amanda.
Anytime someone has a favorite Prince song, it's always a deep cut where you're just like, I never heard this, and you're like, oh yeah, he was in a studio and he made a studio look like woods. He really wanted the sound of nature. Like, he was so crazy talented. If I had to decide right now, what I'm most excited for people to hear is, I guess the Dutch stuff, because I don't understand that Dutch verbs be like, they be tripping. The names, the verbs.
They seem so nice. They're nice though, right?
Yeah. The Follower was a good one too.
The Follower had me like, I was just like, oh, I know that bitch, like, you that's know no and I think it's my mom.
Like, why are you always falling? Anyways, we won't give too much away.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, when you said, there was that one point where you were saying, this show is just about my pet peeves.
I had more. They cut them out.
Oh, like, which, what else? Well, we're not spoiling anything. What's like another pet peeve of yours?
That they didn't have in.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. I think we did the licking of the fingers, right?
No, that wasn't in there.
No, I didn't see that one.
No, that wasn't in there. Yeah.
Oh my God, when people lick their fingers like they're a fucking cat.
Like when they're eating, right? Not just, or like regular. After,
yeah.
Shit, just don't lick your fingers, especially around me. I'm gonna cut your fingers off. That is so disgusting. And then like, did I talk about, was there food on the face in that?
No.
Oh my God, when people have food on their face and they're just a monster and they don't even know and their whole face looks like a fucking bib. You tell them and then they just like take it off their face or their chest and they eat and they just love it. Like food dirt. I'm like, you're fucking yuck.
Yeah.
Like, I do.
Dog has more manners eating her dog than you.
I do like, I also, but I love the pillow from home talk because.
Oh my gosh. We're gonna spoil too much of the special. Anyways, that's all to say, everybody go see. You'll know what we're talking about.
Yeah, watch this shit. We told you all the jokes.
Michelle, I have to ask you, what do you think of like sort of the new way comedy is being received or criticized? Because I think, I mean, I know like a lot of comics will say, like, you know, back in the day, obviously there was no Twitter, there was no cancel culture really, in the sense that you could kind of just say whatever and not be, even if you were going to offend people, that wasn't like a big, you know.
I know, it's so hard because I do feel like we need to take more responsibility for how people are being treated, you know, whether it's whether it's a cheap shot at a trans person or whether it is, you know, an inappropriate accent. Like, I do feel like there is this line now that, and it shifts all the time. Like, we're always growing and hopefully, you know, we might have elected officials who are just like Archie Bunker, and then we have to figure out how we take care of each other because dad's not home. Mm. And so, although I don't like being censored, but I'm not an asshole. Like, I'm not gonna, but I also might be an asshole to somebody else, right? So it's so subjective, it's hard. Right. But right. I feel like if there's a wave of people being so offended, then maybe I'll look at myself and be like, well, how has this really offended somebody? Unless people just want to come for you. It's so crazy. But I do feel like, you know, we'll figure it out. It's sort of just like, you know, when someone loses too much weight, and I'm like, is that a turkey neck? And then they gain a little bit more weight. You're like, there, you filled it out. And that's sort of like how it go.
Yeah,
and so, yeah. And, but I tell people, cause everyone's excited for September 29th. And so am I, cause it's my first 1 hour special.
Yes.
You know, welcome to Butopia, the world of fucking Buddha. So I'm very excited, but I also feel like September 30th, I'm going to be on internet just blocking people who are like, she's fat, she's a woman, she's not funny, she looks like a lion, which I don't know how that's a fucking diss. I'm a Leo, bitch.
Come on, Leo.
People are like, she looks like a lion. I'm like, are lions ugly? Like,
oh, they're wait, majestic.
When's your birthday?
July 24th.
Same as J-Lo. J-Lo, remember?
Rick Fox, Earhart.
Every time I think Leo, for some reason, I think August.
Well, it's also August. It's,
yeah,
is that a cusp sign? Yeah. Is it one of those cusp signs, I guess?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's a cusp on a cuff.
There you go. I mean, lions are beautiful. Otherwise, Disney wouldn't have made a whole movie about it.
And yes! lions are fucking fierce. Yes! To be a lion.
Fierce. Lions.
Yes! Be a lion.
Blackish is king. Tuesday night. Yes! Oh no! No more wine. God.
Wait, you're on the East Coast, right? Are you on the East Coast or are you LA? There.
Listen to me. Look at me. Yes. There, even if I'm on the West Coast, this is I'm still giving. East
Coast. I
you're
love
giving me
it.
East Coast energy. Give me that ECE East Coast energy.
I was like, "What the fuck is that?" I don't do accents.
I'm just making shit up now. This is just.
No, you are. I'm here for it.
That's like what you were mentioning, like after your special airs. I was just like, all those pillow bringers and fathers are going to be coming for you. They're like, the Fowlers Coalition.
Maybe J-Lo fans will come for me. Maybe people won't even hear what I'm saying when I'm talking about the Dutch verbs.
Yeah.
Just be triggered. But
there's always something.
Yes. Yeah. Can't please everyone, but you can make them laugh.
Yeah. You can also deposit that check.
Yes, yes, sis.
Okay, you got twins to feed, two kids, too much.
Oh God, stop.
What? Okay. Before we have to wrap up, but I'm losing track. Michelle, what's next for you? What can you talk about?
Oh, girl, hopefully a COVID-free America, bitch.
What there you go.
I want to go to brunch and not feel like I'm going to die from respiratory failure.
Or yeah. People, like, not stare at you like you committed a cardinal sin when you forgot to put your mask on. I'm in the car, guys. I'm going back. Don't worry.
I know. It's so crazy. Like, on the one hand, you don't want to get used to this mask, right?
But yeah. It's like, need it. Yeah. Yeah.
But, what's next for me? A lot of things are still on the docket, which is so exciting because, damn, the universe has taken a pause for the cause, but thank God these projects are still happening.
Yeah.
So I have a book coming out. It's available for
pre-order. Yes.
Survival of the Thickest. Plus size essays in a small-minded world. And it's out December 8th, just in time for Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, any non-denominational bullshit you celebrate. I'm here for you. Light a candle. Get a V-neck. Get some lip gloss. Go on down the snow. Kiss somebody with a face shield. Do it. I'm also gonna film The Circle, which is amazing.
Yes.
Which is like the perfect show to film for quarantine, because
right.
It's so and I'm also gonna be filming the second season of First Wives.
Yes.
Fun. Black love, black love, blah, blah. yeah, that'll be really fun. I can't wait to see Jill Scott and Ryan Michelle Bethea. I miss their brown tape. We have a text chain and I call it sister wives because they're really like my sister wives.
Yeah.
Minus the braids. I love them so much.
That's a cast too.
That is a cast, man.
Yes. And they're magical. I'm sorry. Everybody needs to work with black mothers. They get
shit. Did you watch the verses with Jill Scott and was it Erica Badu?
It sure was. Yeah. Erica selling incense named Pussy.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Her poussoir. Okay, girl. Imagine someone coming into your house being like, what?
What is that smell? Oh, and yeah, what else do you got going? What else do you got going on? The J-Lo movie. Talking about
that. Oh, you're right. So much going on, I forgot. I gotta look at
And we had Utkarsh on.
Oh my goodness. Did he tell you like his part in it?
No, we didn't.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
We asked him the same question and he was just listing off his lyrics. Yeah.
It's a surprise, but it's real cute.
Okay. Good. We'll wait.
We like to end these interviews with a fun segment we call the FAQs, or the facts. Just random questions.
Okay.
So if you could give yourself, if you could give advice to your past self right before you did your first stand-up, what would you say?
Don't tell yourself no before other people tell you no.
You are just full of wisdom. You are your sage advice. I love it. I love it.
I'm a good ass friend to have.
Okay. One of these has to go. Beyonce, J-Lo, Rihanna, or Janet Jackson. One
that is not okay. No, I refuse. Let me tell you something. Janet, my everything. I'm 43. She was my Beyonce. And I'm still just like, I miss you much.
Miss you. That chair routine.
Oh my, come on. And then Rihanna was just like, I mean, her swagger, the mix with pop and Caribbean and hip hop was just like, come on, with the little below titty, the under boob, which I was doing anyways and didn't even know it was stylish. Come on, and J-Lo, who talk about somebody who did shit in an unconventional way, like didn't wait for nobody, didn't need no man. She's like, I'm gonna decide if I love you, motherfucker. She is representing for all the Latinas everywhere, you know, hosting, acting, music. I can't do that. She shut the fucking Super Bowl halftime show down. People are so uncomfortable with sexuality. And she's just like, I'm a woman and I own my sexuality, bitch. Doesn't mean I'm a hoe. It means that I'm a good person. And this is I'm celebrating my body. Oh my God. Beyonce, come on.
Well, okay, we'll let this one.
There's no way.
This is okay. If you could add someone to take out,
Terrence Trent D'Arby. What? And now he moved to Italy and dyed his hair blonde, and now he's Samantha Pachaya. No, motherfucker.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I'm getting hot. I'm like sweating.
Oh my gosh.
This ring light is just.
Oh, you got a ring light?
I got a ring light. Girls fancy.
Okay. So you talked about playing Meghan Markle in your stand up. Who would, and you also mentioned her in Always Be My Maybe.
A lot of my lines in Always Be My Maybe were improv. And so I always talk about being a plus size Meghan Markle, and I'm surprised they took that line, but I was like, here for it.
So who would you get to play your Prince Harry?
Oh my goodness. Ed Sheeran? No, you know what? Zach. What's his name? From
Zach Morris? Oh, Zach Morris. Yeah, Zach Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Yeah, you said it.
Right, that's too long. And you know what? He's half Dutch, half Indonesian. So.
Oh yeah, he is Asian.
Yeah.
Or half
Yeah,
Asian.
He recently just came out of the Asian closet.
I know. Honestly, he let his There you go.
Yes, Mark Paul Gosselaar. Mark Paul Gosselaar also still looks really good, like, now. So.
Well, I'm listening to his podcast. There's a podcast right now that I'm listening to with him called Zach to the Future, where he's watching every single episode of Saved by the Bell.
Oh yeah, because he's never seen him before. He says he's never seen him before.
Or he's never sat through the whole. Yeah. So he's watching it with the guy who wrote or who came up with Zach Morris's trash on Funny or Die. And he's now, that guy is now a writer on the Saved by the Bell reboot. So they're watching it together.
Wow.
No, make your own lane. Make your own lane. This is what it is.
Yeah.
Do something you love.
Okay. Okay, here's one. If you could remake a rom-com with you in the starring role and a cast filled with POCs, women, and queer folk, what movie would that be?
Dirty Dancing.
Oh, shit! Yes. Who would be your Patrick Swayze? Johnny Castle. Know,
they gotta be strong as fuck to lift me.
Ed Sheeran.
No. Who would be my Ed Sheeran? Who would be my Patrick Swayze?
Okay, well, let's cast this now. We're gonna make this happen.
Jason Momoa.
Oh,
hell yes. Can you imagine him dancing?
Yes, we would just rub coconut oil on each other's elbows and heels. It's like Aquaman, more like Aquaphor.
Aquaphor? Come through Aquaphor. I'm wanting that. I'm wanting that reboot.
I want to see him do like a dance movie. Like that would be amazing. I feel like that would be like something that no one would expect.
You know what? When I got cast in Work It, I was like, these people are young and they are good. They have good knees now.
They're dancing, yeah.
Yeah, and they were like, "You want to dance?" I was like, "I'm very comfortable with dancing, but I cannot move as fast as that." I'm glad they put a little something something in it.
Yeah.
At one point, I just wouldn't stop and they're like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Define okay."
Define okay.
Define it.
Okay. I really want that to happen. The Dirty Dancer starring Michelle Buteau and Jason Momoa. We'll put that out there.
Put it out in the universe.
That or Footloose. Let's be honest. Those were
I mean, they had that Footloose remake a couple years back, which I was not on board with.
But they also had the Dirty Dancing, but like now we're in Cuba. It's like, this is confusing.
Yeah. Just take it back to the Catskills.
Exactly. The Catskills look really fun, by the way. I was just watching Maisel, Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, yes.
I've never heard of the Catskills until that.
You don't want to go. It's like looking like ticks. You got to check under your titties every day.
Okay. Would you rather know the uncomfortable truth about the world or believe a comfortable lie? A comforting lie.
I mean, I want to know the uncomfy truth because then I always concoct a lie and that's how I get through it.
That is such a good diplomatic answer. I love it.
Yeah.
Like, look, you're not going to get married and be like, it's going to be roses all damn day. You know what I mean? You're going to know the ugly truth and then be like, okay, I got this. Oh no, what did I do? Can you still see me?
Yeah, I still see. We still see you. Can you see us?
Yes, I can see you. Caller,
can you still see us? Okay, and our final question we asked this.
Oh no!
I know. I want to talk some more because I don't want to go back to work because I have so much shit to write. Is there an underrepresented voice in the industry, whether it's an actor, writer, producer, creator, storyteller, that is not in the mainstream that you think deserves more shine and recognition by the industry?
That's so crazy. Yeah. What a crazy ass question. I mean, like, that is not just one person.
No, more than, feel free to fire them off. Yeah.
A bunch of people. I mean, when people ask me my favorite stand-up comedian, comedians, I'm like, it's always my friends that are out in the trenches, driving to the Catskills, taking four planes in North Dakota to perform for $1,000. They are hysterical. They can work with adversity because they have to. It's like, the unseen people, you know, and it's also, it's also the trans people in this industry who might be afraid to apply for a job, who don't get the job and don't know why, you know, because people are uncomfortable with them, which is so fucked up. I mean, what I love about the shows and any project that I'm working on now is that it's so inclusive. You know, everyone is hella mindful. You know, First Wives, all the writers for all the episodes were women and all the directors were women. Working on Tales of the City, I've never seen so many lovely unicorns walking around. Everybody was queer. It was all queer writers' room. That's fucking dope. And when you give people a chance to sort of reflect who they really are, you like, and I'm talking to the industry now, you'd be surprised how many people will feel seen, you know, and how many people you'll educate. You know, the first thing that get cut in any school is the arts.
Yeah.
But you're not really appreciating the fucking magic that is the arts, because this is such a powerful place to have difficult discussions and, you know, to sort of showcase what you want to say, but you don't know how to say it. Right. So I don't even know if I answer your motherfucking question.
No,
but I think now more than ever, I tell all my friends right now who have stories, pilots, scripts, whatever the fuck in their back pocket, I'm like, no offense, but look, white guilt is real right now. Take advantage and just send your shit. Again, don't tell yourself no before you hear no, okay? Just fucking send your shit and hope for the best. You know what I mean? Like, you never fucking know. You never know. Once we get back to, our, like, whatever the fuck we can get back to, I think it's going to be different in all the right ways.
Hopefully. Oh, let's hope so.
Yes, that's a Rhythm Nation speech right there. Love it.
Where's my key for my earring? Where's my earring?
Yes, key for the earring. Oh my God. Wow.
Thank you so much. This was
Michelle. We've been actually like me and Amanda yes. Me and Amanda have been like really wanting to get you on the show for the longest time. We just like the stars haven't aligned, but luckily they have now.
Yeah.
Yay, so I'm excited.
Yeah.
I love the switch up. I'm not
Look at that costume change.
Yes. Thank you so much. We know you're busy, so thank you for taking the time to do this. Congrats again.
Love it. Thank you for taking the time to watch my special.
Yes, oh, it's hilarious.
And so I've already everybody. I've watched it twice already.
It is hilarious. It is hilarious. I loved
it. It feel like a night out in New York, and now it sort of feels like a night out in New York. Yeah, I mean, it was. I wish you guys were there. There were drag queens that were like, warming people up and roasting them before we even started. And then
oh my gosh, I should have done that.
It was fun.
Yeah. Wait, have you been a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race yet? You need to.
Not yet. It is a dream.
Okay, well, I'll get that done for you.
You know, like I can make it
out.
Well, thank you. Hopefully we'll get to have some type of human interaction
in the future, near future.
But thank you for doing that.
Yes. My hologram at Coachella.
Yeah.
Thank you, Michelle, so much. We love you.
Bitches.
Bye. Yes, bitch.
Bye, bitch.
Bye.
Can we get off?
Oh, you could just close out.
I'm just kidding.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.